Genesis chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. Bibles are important. As we go through, you need to bring them because this is a Bible study. So, it's even in the title. Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear God, I thank you for this small group that came out today, God. I thank you that they woke up early and they're eager to study your word, God. I pray that you would bless them this morning. I pray that we would get something from it, Lord, and that we would just learn more about you. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. Follow along with me. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about is going to absolutely blow your mind. Like, you're not even going to... Seriously. I'm not going to lie to you. It's crazy. All right. Verse 1. Open your Bible. That's right. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Okay. Serpent. All right. Who is that? Satan. Okay. Now... this is probably one of the worst... the serpent, okay? I don't know if that's how you spell it. It literally means the shiny one. Yeah, shiny one, okay? It doesn't mean snake, all right? It doesn't mean snake. So, the first thing we're talking about is... it wasn't a talking snake, okay? In the Bible, when we have... the serpent, it's not a talking snake. What is Lucifer? In Isaiah 14... what? The brilliant one, the bright and morning star. Okay. We have the morning. Lucifer, the word, it means day star. Because he's bright, so... day star. No. So, we have a male figure... in chapter 3, something that, you know, Lucifer was one of the most, one of the prettiest, gorgeous angels ever created. One of the most, it's not, you know, like the horns and the, you know, the tail. It's not that we're talking about. It's a really intimidating, not intimidating, but beautiful creature, okay? Verse 1 says, "And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now, if you heard last week, we knew that God did not say that whatsoever. God said, out of any of the trees, you can eat them all, except for the one in the middle, which is the what? Tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? Verse 2. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Now, if we look back, God never said that. God said to Adam, you must not eat from the tree, right? Y'all with me? But she says, you must not touch it. Why would she say that? Why would she add that in, that extra little thing, about what God said when he didn't really say that? Because Adam, we have here, Adam, God told Adam. Eve wasn't even around when God made this command to Adam, okay? We'll see that in just a minute. Adam, it was Adam's job to tell Eve and protect her, okay? We're going to learn that Adam was just as, probably more at fault than Eve was in the sin. So, you know how we blame women all the time, like, well, it was your fault we sinned? Well, no, we're going to learn that, not really. You must not eat from the tree, must not touch it. Okay, if y'all... watch over kids. I help teach children's church. And if, like, you have a stove and it's, like, on, you know, it's hot, it's on, right? And you have a kid and you don't want them to get anywhere near it because they have no clue what a stove is. They can't even, you know, a big machine. No, so machine is even a big word for them. But you tell them, don't even get anywhere near it. Don't even stay away from it. In fact, don't even go in that room where the stove is, okay? Same principle here. Adam comes up to Eve and he tells her, don't even touch it. Not only don't eat it, but don't touch it. Stay away from it completely. Because last week we learned, what's Adam afraid of most? Okay. No, more so than that. He's afraid of, yes, he is. Very much so. Okay. Separation, death. God says, you will surely die. You will die the death. And Adam is scared to death of death. Yeah. Anyway, okay, verse 4. Satan says, you will not surely die. That surely die is, you will not die the death. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's true, but it's the truth twisted. Whenever you have a lie, there's always some hint of truth in there, but it's twisted. Because, you know, we talked about last week how you had the God created the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they would probably eat from it later on, because the tree in itself wasn't bad. Because God knows the difference between good and evil, right? And that's not a sin. The sin was, they weren't ready to eat of it. They were only like one day old. You know, you don't stick a kid in a car when he's 2 years old. You wait for him to be 16 and then put him in the car, and then you can drive. And same thing here. They were probably going to eat from it later. Yes?
When exactly did sin enter the world? Has it already happened so far?
Like, no, not yet. This is Satan tempting Eve right now.
Well, then isn't he lying to her, though, so wouldn't that be sinning?
No, he's trying to protect her.
No, the serpent.
Oh, the serpent, yeah. Satan's definitely lying to her here.
So hasn't sin already entered the world, though?
Not in the human world. Satan already sinned. We learn later in Isaiah that Satan... That's a good question. Satan, in his heart, wanted to be like God. And that's when God cast him down to earth. But Satan has not entered the human... No human has sinned yet. No human has... Yes?
And what verse does it say, like, where Adam tells Eve that, like, about the tree?
It doesn't. Okay. But it's in between the lines. It makes sense. Okay. It's a really good explanation of it. So, I mean, how else would... It makes sense in the narrative. And actually, you'll see that right now, Adam, while Satan's talking to Eve, Adam is right next to her. Adam's still there. He's standing right next to her. And I'll show you what I mean in a minute. See, Adam was scared of death, right? So it's Adam's job to protect Eve. And the whole time Satan's talking to him, the whole time this human figure is talking to her, Adam's not doing anything about it. Adam's just listening. And that's one, like in the middle, like in the Jewish Middle Eastern culture, you will never see a woman by herself. It doesn't happen. Either the brother's with her, the husband's with her, the maidservant's with her. We'll see that all throughout the Bible, because you don't leave the woman unprotected. Does that make sense? And so Adam is standing right here with her. Let's see, verse 6. The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and was also desirable for gaining wisdom, and she took some of it and ate it. And look here, here's what I'm talking about. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. You see, Adam was there the entire time and did absolutely nothing to stop it. Does that make sense? So, when we see that God comes, and God's in the garden, and he comes to confront them about their sin, we see that instead of going to Eve, he goes where? Where does he go? Straight to Adam. He goes directly to Adam instead of Eve, because it was more Adam's fault. Does that make sense? Because he didn't even stop her. See, the fruit is good. Oh, by the way, it wasn't an apple. It's not an apple. They don't even have apples in the Middle East. This would be a fruit. I don't know, fig. I don't know. So she sees it's good. She takes some of it. Now, one of the things that's really important is she grabs the fruit, right? And she's holding it. And she's about to eat it. And what hasn't happened yet? Well, Adam hasn't said anything, and she hasn't died yet. Why? Because God said, do not eat of it, because you will die. So Adam went a little bit further than that, and he said, well, don't even touch it. So she goes up to the fruit. She grabs it. Nothing's happened to her yet. She's not dead. Well, Adam lied to me. God lied. Then she eats it. Then she dies. Does that make, or not dies, but that's when sin enters. Does that make sense? That explains it very... It's a good explanation for that. She took of it and gave some to her husband, and he ate it. Then both of the... Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Fig leaves are pretty big. Have you ever seen... Like, we used to live in Florida, and there was like fig leaves. And so if you sew them, it makes a good covering, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard... Okay, this is cool. This is pretty cool. This is amazing. I really love this verse. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God. We learned that Yahweh, the personal God. So here we see the personal God walking through the garden. Who would that be? Walking through the garden. Jesus. Good. We see the personal God walking in the cool of the day. This is in the daytime. Walking through the garden. Isn't that cool? I just find it interesting that right there in the narrative we have God walking through the garden. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Like, you know, that's if, back to the kid thing. God's playing human here. If you have kids, my mom had a friend and she would always bring kids over and we would always play hide and go seek, right? Well, I pretty much knew where they were. I mean, there's not that many places you can hide very well in my house. And so I would walk in, you know, well, where are you? And I know exactly where they are. It's that picture there. God knows. God's not stupid. He was there. He knows what they've done. He's just waiting for them to come out in front. Does that make sense? Flip to Psalm 20. Psalm 29, I think. And we're going to see something that's very cool. This is very interesting. God calls out to them. He says, where are you? Okay. Okay, this is written in about 1000 BC. And the next verse in Genesis here, this is really interesting. It said, Adam comes up and he says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So Adam hears God walking in the garden. He hears his voice. What does the voice of God sound like? What does it sound like? David makes a really clear picture of it. It says, Psalms 29, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, and the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, and the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. A cedar can be a tree that can be up to 150 feet tall. Huge tree. And they're all over Lebanon. And he makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Saran like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. In all his temple cry glory. That is the voice that's in the garden. We have Adam hiding in sheer terror. Like, have you done something wrong and you know you're about to get just like beat severely or caught, and your parents are about to come in and you're just like, know that everything's bad is going to happen to you because you messed up big time, and you're not sorry for what you did, you're kind of sorry that you got caught kind of thing. That's what we have here. Sheer terror for Adam because he's scared of death and he just got separated from God. Interesting fact here. Okay, look, verse 11. And he said, being God, who told you that you were naked? And have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Then we have that again. The kids in the cookie jar, all the Oreos are on his face. And you go, did you eat in the cookie jar? Yeah. The evidence is all there. God knows. He's plain human here. The man said, the woman you put here with me. Whoa. The woman you put here, God, you put her here. She gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Chapter 2, we see that Adam was so glad that Eve was there. It's what he waited for. He was so happy he was there. Now it's like, well, it's your fault. You put her here with me. When it was technically his fault. Y'all see that? Okay. 13, it says, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate it. Now, the serpent being Lucifer, not a snake, Lucifer. Eve is, you know, pretty intelligent here. I mean, she's not like stupid. The snake's not talking to her. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. The Lord God said, okay, first he goes to Adam. Why? Because it's Adam's fault. Because he didn't protect her. Then he goes to Eve. Then he goes to Satan. Now, remember we learned that the Genesis account is poetry. Y'all with me? Poetry. So, goes to Adam, then Eve, then Satan. Then, for the judgments, for their consequences, he goes backwards. From Satan to Eve to Adam. You see that? That would make total sense to a Jewish person who is reading this. This is poetry laid in the Genesis account. Okay. The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. Why is he above all the wild livestock? Because he's not an animal. He is a human figure, not a human figure, but a male figure, Lucifer, one of the gorgeous creatures ever created here in the garden. Does that make sense? And it says, you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Here you have it. You will eat dust all the days of your life. Death. What's dust is where man came from. And dust is where we will go. That's what he tells Adam in a minute. So dust is nothing. Do snakes eat dust? No. This isn't a snake. I'm telling you, it's not a snake. It's Lucifer. And you will eat dust all the days of your life. That's eternal judgment. You have death all the days of your life because of this. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Verse 15, this is the first. Every Jewish rabbi teaches this. This is the very first prophecy of the promised Messiah to come. Who is the promised Messiah? Jesus. Y'all remember the Passion of the Christ. The first opening scene, you have the Garden of Eden. Jesus is praying. You see the serpent come in. He crushes it with his heel. Do y'all remember that? Okay, some of y'all do, some of y'all don't. That's what happens. This is the picture of that. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, that's Satan and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, hers being the line of Jesus, and, you know, child of God, child of Satan. So we have Satan's offspring and God's promised Messiah, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. When Jesus was crucified, Satan thought he won. He struck at Christ, but Christ crushed his heel through the crushed his head, completely crushed him, obliterated death through the resurrection. Does that make sense? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So this is the first. Here we have it. Man messes up. Genesis chapter 3 messes up, completely separates from God, yet we have the first hope, first glimpse of hope, the promised Messiah to come and take away that sin, that death that we just caused. Alright? Okay. Verse 16. Now he comes to the woman and says, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing, and with pain you will give birth to the children, or two children. Have you ever met a mom who said it wasn't painful when they gave birth? No. It's right here. I'm sorry. Happens. Okay. Verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of. Remember? He commanded Adam. He told Adam. Eve wasn't around. Eve wasn't even made. And Adam was the one he told, because Adam was supposed to protect her. So it's Adam he told, It's more his fault. So he gets the greater judgment. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat all the days of your life. And it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat of the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. God made Adam from dust. Adam's worst fear, the death. Death. He gets that judgment for all mankind. If you come from Adam, you come from death. That's why Jesus is the completed Adam. Not only does Jesus conquer death, but he didn't come from Adam. Because, remember, that's why it's so vile that Mary is a virgin. That's why people are like, oh, she wasn't a virgin. Well, that's extremely important. Because if Mary wasn't a virgin and Jesus wasn't virgin born, then he has sin. He has Adam. Sin in his blood. And sin leads to death. So, y'all with me? That's why Jesus is the completed Adam. Okay? Paul says that. Verse 20, and Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. So, his wife, they're married. It's the first marriage. We talked about that last week. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Where did the garments come from? Where do you make a cloak? Animals. Good. So the first death has occurred because of sin. Animals had to die to clothe them and clothe their sin. First death we see here. God kills the animals and uses their fur to cover them and makes them garments. Okay? 22. And the Lord God said, man has now become like one of us. Trinity. Once again, Jesus walking through the garden. Trinity is found here in Genesis. Knowing good and evil, he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. This is amazing. God sees sin. He sees his creation separated from God, and he says, I cannot have y'all to eat from. What's the other tree? The tree of life. I can't have them because that's the tree of life. If you eat it, you're eternal. I can't have you eating from the tree of life in the state you are, because they would be in this horrible, messed up state forever if they ate from the tree of life. That's why God sends, he puts a cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the entire garden, so that man doesn't reach out his hand, eat from the other tree, just like they ate from that tree, and live forever in a horrible, evil state. So God is being merciful here, right after we sinned. Okay? Verse 23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground which he had been taken. Verse 24, and after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Why didn't God just destroy Eden? That would have been a lot easier. But he puts up cherubim, and you can see it. The cherubim, they're outside, and you have the flaming sword and everything guarding it. So that they have hope. Because one day we'll see over here in Revelation, we return to a paradise where there's a tree of life in the center. So there's hope for Adam and Eve because they see the garden, and one day we might be able to return to that garden, which we will. That's why he didn't destroy it. Is that you with me? Okay. Interesting thing here. People always talk about it. It says he placed a cherubim. Throughout the entire creation account, the angels, God didn't create the angels in this creation account. They were made before. So, the angels were before us. That's why Satan is an angel. And he's before us. Okay. That's all we have. I kind of skipped a lot, but that's okay. We're going to pray, and we'll get out of here. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we're able to study your word. I pray that you would just bless these people a lot for getting up this early. I pray that they would tell others about you, and that they would return next week and have a hunger for your word. Lord, I pray that they would get inside your word this week, daily, just one-on-one with you, and that they would study your word in their own time and learn so much about the merciful God that created them and die for them, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen.